Welcome to Traveling the Bluegrass Uncut. I'm your host, Alan Watts. On today's program, we talk with Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack about a new round of the Coronavirus Food Assistance Program payments.
This really is designed to encapsulate a set of decisions made by USDA that is designed first and foremost to help those a bit more than who have already been helped under the previous COVID relief packages, perhaps provide greater outreach to those who might have been qualified for participation in programs but didn't know about them or didn't fully participate because they didn't know how to, and also to extend help to many in agriculture and in the supply chain who previous to this had not received any help from COVID relief packages or perhaps received very, very little. We've divided this thing into four basic steps or four parts. I'll briefly review all four and then be happy to respond to questions you have on this or any other topic. The goal of us, for us in this effort, was to try to provide as much help as equitably as possible to as many producers as possible who have been hurt by COVID. And given the diversity of agriculture, the size of operations, methods of production, this was not an easy task, and it took us a bit of time to sort of get our arms around what the need was, how much resource was available, both through COVID packages and through normal USDA packages, and then try to put together a comprehensive plan. We are using resources from COVID. We are using resources from previous COVID packages. We're also using resources from some of our more traditional USDA programs. So four parts. First part, we're obviously focused on making sure that we're carrying out the formula payments under CFAP 1, 2, and AA. Rolling those into this more comprehensive effort. This is going to allow us to make payments to farmers who are already received the benefits of these programs. Rules have already been written, not much administrative work to be done here. So we're in a position to make payments and to begin making those payments very, very soon in the month of April. Payments will involve under CFAP 1, payments to cattle producers. They don't need to apply. They don't need to take additional steps. This is essentially providing additional resources to what we anticipate would be about 410,000 producers, about $1.1 billion of additional support and help. Rates for these producers will be published on a website at farmers.gov/CFAP. I would encourage cattle producers to take a look at that to determine how much they might be entitled to in addition to and above what they've already received. In addition, we will also this April begin the process of paying out the $20 per acre to eligible crops identified under CFAP 2, crops that are identified as either flat rate or price triggered crops. Now, this includes a wide array of crops: alfalfa, corn, cotton, hemp, peanuts, rice, sorghum, soybeans, sugar beets, wheat, many other products. No need for new applications. Based on the CFAP 2 eligible acres, anticipate 560,000 producers receiving about $4.5 billion of additional assistance and help. We also recognized that there were some folks who perhaps were involved in prior COVID packages where the formulation, the calculation may have potentially created a situation where some people wouldn't get the kind of help and assistance that they needed. And for that reason, we're going to basically make some adjustments. I'll give you a couple of examples. There was an opportunity for swine producers and contract growers, poultry, to receive payments, additional payments. The problem was the formula that was used in initial efforts really created a circumstance of inequity between the size of operations. And so we're going to try to smooth that out a little bit and try to make sure that we set up a formula that will allow for adequate resources and help to swine and contract growers. On sales commodities, which are a wider range of products, when we calculated the base upon which your payment would be made, we didn't allow them to take into consideration insurance that they may have received, indemnity payments, NAP payments, or WIP plus payments that they may have received. We think that we should allow them to recalculate, if you will, and we're viewing this process and allowing them to essentially go back in time to basically shore up the amount of loss that they had in fact to sustain so that they get a payment that makes sense. There are other adjustments like this that are in sort of the first bucket, if you will, of this four-part effort to try to provide pandemic assistance to producers. The second bucket, we're taking resources that would that come from traditional USDA programs that are specifically designed for local and regional food systems and basically getting them out the door in an expedited way. There's roughly $500 million that we've identified of new funding from these programs that we're going to try to expedite getting out the door quickly, which should provide help and assistance to small, mid-sized producers, specialty crop producers, and others. It's $75 million for farmers for training and outreach. That's designed primarily for socially disadvantaged farmers to give them some additional information and training. That money is going to be provided $100 million under a local ag marketing program. This is designed to provide assistance for direct to consumer marketing, benefiting local and regional food markets. $75 million in the Gus Schumacher Nutrition Incentive Program, which is designed to encourage more consumption and more purchasing of fruits and vegetables. An opportunity as well for a specialty crop block grant, $100 million to go out to state commissioners, secretaries and directors of agriculture for additional assistance and help. So that's the second bucket, $500 million to try to encourage more marketing and more opportunities. The third bucket, and within that $500 million, there's a series of other steps, so we're getting money for APHIS to assist in disease, animal prevention, additional resources for ARS, and to partner with the Texas A&M on a One Health initiative, and $80 million to provide some assistance in the cotton industry as well, under a program that was established under the Economic Adjustment Assistance for Textile Mills program. So a lot of different unique opportunities here to provide help and assistance to get folks who are in the supply chain or are critically important to agriculture generally in the country, getting them assistance and help. The third bucket is a $6 billion bucket where we don't have the rules necessarily written because these are people and groups and entities that have not yet received money or haven't received sufficient resources from USDA. So we want to give them an opportunity to participate because they too have been impacted and affected by COVID. I'll give you an example, a dairy donation program. We recognized during the course of COVID how difficult it was for certain commodities to donate to food assistance. The transition from food service to food assistance was difficult. We're creating resources under a dairy donation program to make it a little bit easier to remove that disincentive for donation in the event we have future problems and we learn from this experience so that we're better prepared in the future. There is an opportunity to reimburse folks who had to euthanize livestock and poultry during this very tragic circumstance. An opportunity to assist timber harvesters and haulers who clearly were hurt and impacted by the COVID. The biofuel industry that obviously didn't receive any help in the previous COVID packages, but yet experienced significant difficulties because of COVID, because of trade, a variety of other issues. Also opportunity for additional resources to help specialty crop producers, beginning farmers, additional resources for organic and urban agriculture as well. Opportunities for us to, in essence, take $6 billion, divide it appropriately and equitably in a way that provides help and assistance to, at all levels, if you will, of agriculture. There'll be additional resources for protective equipment for farm workers and processors who work in processing facilities. There's an opportunity for even seafood processors to be engaged and involved in this. So it's very comprehensive. We're going to take a look at the resiliency of our food supply system and figure out ways in which we might be able to provide greater resilience. That might be helping processing facilities. It might be looking at ways in which we can expand processing capacity. The opportunity as well for us to help food banks and other users of perishable items in particular, other opportunities for farm to school, restaurants, food banks, a wide variety of folks in the supply chain that are going to be helped and assisted with this effort.
Our guest today, Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack. I'm Alan Watts, traveling the Bluegrass.